This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 21st, episode 1548, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
What's going to happen?
Something wonderful.
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
Friday, 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 Friday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. We appreciate you being here.
Woohoo!
Last day before the weekend, and we're kind of excited. We're heading down to Disney this afternoon to meet with our legacy listener, Rhonda, and her husband. We're going to spend the afternoon down there. We're going to have dinner
together.
Do they
just go to Disney World?
They go twice a year. They are Disney Club members. They own the timeshares, the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah,
okay.
So they're addicted. Yep. So we're going to go down there, meet with them, and hang out with them for a little while. And then tomorrow morning, we're staying overnight. Tomorrow morning, I have to do a talk on podcasting in Orlando, so it should be fun.
Well, that worked out well.
Yeah, it did, actually. It just fell into place that way, so that was nice. I want to apologize to everybody who was listening yesterday live when we went away, just disappeared. And that's because our internet crapped out here at the studio. It just went off, and the router had to reset, so that took about 10 minutes. And then what happened when that happened is Alice's Skype locked up and she couldn't get her Skype back. So we were about 20 minutes off the air, and we just decided that we weren't going to put the live feedback on, and we recorded it the rest of the way. So it is out on the Horses in the Morning feed. You'll find it and you can listen to the recorded version. We apologize for that. If we go away today, then our internet went off again, which means I'm going to have to spend 3 hours on the phone with Bright House trying to figure out why.
Don't do it.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't happen.
I can't believe, just so you know, first of all, my mother-in-law gets here tomorrow because I go to California on Sunday. It's Friday. I am not studied enough.
Next week is your big test at Monty Roberts' place.
Huge test. In the process of trying to get certified to be a Monty Roberts instructor and trainer and clinician and all that fun stuff. I had to go and I did the intro course. And so now it's the test. It is 5 days long. The study manual was 520 pages front and back. I mean, like a book, a 570 page book. I have been taking notes and writing cards, note cards, and I still, but then it's all scattered because Lucas doesn't really like me to study. He wants me to be there with him. And I'm like, I have to do my homework. He's like, stop doing homework.
That's going to switch in a little while, won't it?
Mm-hmm. You get in there and do your homework. Get in there right now. Yeah. So I leave Sunday to go to Monty's for a week. Monty is in Europe, so I don't even get to see him. But Debbie's going to be there, and Pat's going to be there, and Denise and the whole crew. So I love them all, and I'm going to be a different human.
Now, is this just
flying,
you?
Flying, not taking the horses. I fly on Sunday and then come out Saturday morning.
No child either?
No child. No, that's what the mother-in-law gets here tomorrow.
Glenn. Got it.
See what I did there?
Yeah,
I'm like, hey,
got it.
Come on out. Phoenix is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Oh, by the way, I'm leaving.
It's a lovely time of year in Phoenix.
Lovely. It's just gorgeous. Yeah. So that's this weekend too. Oh my gosh, I'm stressed out. I got to go study. I haven't studied for a test in 20 years. Okay. 20 years. Do the
and
math.
You weren't that good at it then.
No, I was terrible then. Chad's like, at least he, like, my husband, dear sweet husband, he's like, seriously, please take this test already because I am so tired of learning about horses. And like, we were at dinner the other night. He's like, hey, did you guys know that the horse's small intestine is 70 feet long? Like, good dinner chat there, honey. Like, he's so tired of hearing about the duodenum, the duodenum, and the cecum and the reproductive system. And oh my gosh, it is the hardest test ever. But at least it's interesting, you know.
You'll be able to do our Wednesday health reports.
I could tell you what a polysaccharide is, Glenn, and how it affects the horse.
You know, when you did those commercials for KPP, you couldn't pronounce any of the words. Now you actually know what they mean.
I know what they mean. I still can't pronounce them, but I know what they mean.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that's this weekend. Well, I'm stressed out. I got to go study.
So you're going to be, you will be on the show next week. You'll just be coming from there.
Yes, and okay. I'll have a little more time because I won't be going show, ride, go to class, ride, go to bed. Now it's going to be like, do the show, take a test, go study. That's my week.
I am assuming, though, that they'll allow you to ride a horse so you don't get itchy.
We do a lot of joint. Like, part of the exam is your join up and your long lining.
Oh, really?
And your dually halter work. Yeah.
So it's not just the parts of the horse. You're doing more than that.
There's so much, my head's gonna explode. I don't know what to do. I'm really, you talking about this is stressing me out. Let's talk about something else.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, Stephanie Lockhart's gonna stop by and tell us about Spanish Mustangs. And then the mad genius behind the Kentucky Performance Products, Karen Isberg, is gonna bust some beet pulp myths. And the author of the 5-Minute Fixes books, everybody's got one on their shelf, the author Wendy Murdoch is going to explain what Surefoot is, which is this month's really bad ads prize, by the way. And at the end, we're going to jump the ditch and gallop through the finish flags with really bad ads. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I'll add to that, too. Jamie's going to do her review of Harry and Snowman. That was her birthday present the other day. Chad took her to see Harry and Snowman, so we're going to get a review. We'll find out how you liked it, and we'll find out how your husband liked it.
Well, you know what? It's that whole, I'm going to surprise the wife with something, because this is an hour away. And he had to, he was like, okay, we need to leave at 4. I was like, where are we going? It's a surprise. Well, you know how I feel about surprises. What do you mean? Just tell me. No, we have to leave at 4.
Did he give
it's a
in?
Surprise. So we get in the car and I'm like, we had turned past where we usually kind of go for things. And I go, you didn't turn in there. He goes, I told you we're going to Scottsdale. I'm like, you were serious? We're driving an hour for something? What is this? It's a surprise. I'm not going to tell you. Well, then I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Scottsdale.
You are such
a jerk. I never want to go to Scottsdale. This is the worst place in the world. I don't want to go. It's an entire hour to get there. This is really stupid. I don't want to go. Yeah. He's like, you're the worst. The surprise. I was like, well, listen, if you just tell me what it is, then I'll know whether I want to go or not. You can't just leave it to put me in a car for an hour. You're not feel about driving to Scottsdale. I never go there. He's like, okay. We're going. I found the only theater in the entire city of Phoenix that is playing Harry and Snowman. I go, really? Oh my God, let's go. Let's go, Scottsdale. Let's go.
I would have opened the door and thrown you out.
God. So the whole way there, I'm like, this is so much better. Like, I'm so excited now. And instead of being filled with dread, I'm filled with excitement. And he goes, like, you ruined the surprise. I'm like, this is a surprise. I'm in the car. I didn't know where we're going. Now I know. I go, aren't I much more pleasant to be around right
now? I would have put you on the curb.
I'm like, now I have time to mentally prepare for this movie. If I would have known we were going to a movie, I would have brought a sweater. If I would have known we were going to this one, I would have brought tissues. Like, I mean, come on. You need to let me know these things. I hate.
Oh, God, you're so bad at this stuff. All right.
So review is coming up. We'll see what happened. Yeah, we drove 2 hours round trip for a 90-minute movie. Took longer to drive.
Well, we'll find out if that was worth it in a few minutes. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to our new auditors this week, Renee Carmel. And, is it Carmel or Carmel?
caramel or caramel, you have whatever you say.
Caramel. I'm going with Caramel, which is a cool name, by the way. I want to know how she got that.
Caramel.
Caramel. Caramel.
Caramel.
Caramel. All right, we'll go with Carmel. Renee, Carmel, and Katie are our new auditors this week, and we thank them so much and welcome them to the auditor family. If you want to become an auditor, you can do so for as little as $1 a month. Just head over to Horses in the Morning Facebook or horseinthemorning.com, and you'll find a link for the auditors right there. It's very simple and easy to do.
My Daily Whinny is also kind of a news story because I wanted to update you and give my Daily Whinny to the Mercer County Court. Because if you remember, Maria Burrell's father, Maria Burrell was the trainer of Run Happy in the Breeders' Cup. And she got fired right after the Breeders' Cup, and it was really bizarre. And her dad, Charles Burrell, and her owned a farm in Mercer County. And this is in Frankfort, Kentucky. Yeah. Yep. And so she was fired weirdly, and it was, I was all mad. I was like, this poor girl. Well, now you realize there's a lot more to the story. So the police came because the horses were starving on this piece of property, and the police went and they found that there were hardly any food. Nobody was taking care of the property. So they called, they got all the horses taken away. One ended up being put down. I mean, it was just a really ugly situation. So Sally Vans and Thoroughbred Charities of America and Rood and Riddle and Haggard's and Patterson Vet Supply all contributed to their care. And all these people stepped up and helped nurse these emaciated horses back to health. Well, yesterday, a Mercer Circuit Court judge ruled that Charles Burrell and his daughter Maria no longer own the 42 abandoned horses on the Mercer County farm, because they can't rehome, they can't adopt. My knowledge through what happens here with the sheriff's department is these horses are evidence until the court says, yeah, they're not yours anymore. So it looks like the district court said that they relinquished their ownership claims in connection. And Charles Burrell was found guilty for 9 counts of second degree animal cruelty. That was back in September. So because he was guilty, which, by the way, 9 counts for 42 horses seems very low, but whatever. Those horses are now going to be able to be rehomed. And he also, the suit also says that the Burrells have to pay all the costs incurred by the fiscal court and the numerous businesses and individuals who contributed to the upkeep of the horses. So basically, they're going to owe money to everybody in Kentucky. But whether, of course,
they'll be filing bankruptcy shortly.
Yeah. They're saying that at least $20,000 has been spent on temporary care, and that the Thoroughbred Charities of America itself has spent more than $13,000. So they'll owe money to everybody. Nobody will probably ever see it, unfortunately, but that guy deserves to be.
Yeah, but they can get the horses some homes now.
Exactly. Exactly. Cool. But, you know, I just hope they get on probation where they'll never own another horse again.
Let's hope. Hey, tomorrow is the Plaidcast, so we'll have a Saturday episode for you tomorrow that Sissy and Piper do from the Plaid Horse Magazine. They're talking to the O'Mara family, which is one of the winningest families in the history of hunters. So that'll be on tomorrow's Plaidcast. Tune in for that. And announcing it here first, Radiothon prizes. We're going to give you a little look into what's been confirmed. This is the grand prize now. Just we give away prizes all day long, and we'll be announcing those as the weeks go on. And most of those are locked in now too, so we can start announcing those.
It's on November 28th,
that's
right?
Correct. Cyber Monday, November 28th. We're working on some really good guests, getting them lined up. And this year's theme, by the way, is your fantasy ride. So we're going to be asking guests and you, our listeners, to tell us if you could pick any horse from history or current to ride on Christmas Day, your fantasy ride, what horse would it be? So that's our question this year. And it should be interesting getting some of these big name people who've ridden all these famous horses to find out what their fantasy ride is. So that should be fun. But the prizes will be given away all day. And then
we have to pick just one? Oh my God, my brain is spinning.
I know. It's fun.
How am I going to pick one?
I have mine. I have my fantasy drive. And if you're a driver, you can do driving horse too.
Is it Frederick? The most handsome horse in the world.
So the Radiothon now at the end of the day, of course, we go live for 12 hours like we did last year, and we give away prizes every hour. But at the end of the day, we give a grand prize away to one lucky winner. And last year, it was Lindsay Helmuth, won over $1,000 worth of products. And she still talks about that because that's a really good Christmas gift. This year, we got a really good Christmas gift, too, if you win. And that is Noble Outfitters has stepped up to give away over $500 worth of their products. And we all know Noble Outfitters products, and we all love them. Weatherbeater is donating a blanket worth over $200. And Redmond Equine has stepped up to give a year's supply of Redmond Equine Rocks on a Rope and other products worth over $500. So we have over $1,200 worth of stuff that we're giving away for the grand prize this year.
And we have other prizes, too, just
all day
long.
Yep. And we'll announce those as the next couple of weeks go on. We'll announce what some of those other prizes. Again, this year, we are over $3,000 in prizes all day. So the way you win, and so you got to start thinking about this, and we'll make the announcement next week how you can do it. But think about it now. You have to send us a voicemail. And there's two ways to win. One, you send us a voicemail. Last year, we had over 100 voicemails with people singing songs, writing poems, just wishing their friends, or they got together with their friends at the barn and all did it, you know, a Merry Christmas. Whatever you can do to make it fun and entertaining, send us a voicemail. And that will enter you in for the prizes all day, and we'll pick at random. Or you call us that day. It doesn't matter whether you get through or not. As long as you're recorded as calling, Jennifer will record all those as people call. We'll have 10 lines open all day long. Last year, we had over 200 calls from listeners. So you either call that day or send us a voicemail, and you're entered into the prize pool for the day. So think about your clever voicemails. We want some good ones again this year. We would love to have some of you singing. There were some 12 Days of Christmas ones. There were some really good ones that people wrote last year, and we want you to be part of that. And that's sponsored by Horseware again this year, or Horselovers.com.
Much easier just to do the recording.
Or here's, you know, my advice. And if you're not creative enough for that, just give us a call and tell us about your fantasy ride. We want calls that day too.
Can it be alive or dead?
Alive or dead. It can be a 3,000-year-old horse. I don't care.
I'm sorry. This is too broad. I can't. I can't be a part of this. My head's going to explode. I've already like studied out, and then you give me a choice to ride any horse in the world in history.
So think about that. You have to give us your answer too. But we'll have more details on that next week and how you can start submitting your voicemails, where all the guests are starting to get lined up now. And we have some Olympic people, Olympic competitors that are on that list, I noticed.
Olympic people.
Yes, Olympic people. I keep asking Debbie if she's got secured the queen yet for her interview, and she keeps saying no. So,
good luck with that.
Wouldn't it be cool to hear her fantasy ride, though? The queen's?
I want to know. I'm going to ask our first guest because I need to kind of start to narrow this down. It would be if she could ask the queen that. I'm sure that's not going to happen. But I would love to ask our first guest, Stephanie Lockhart, who her fantasy ride was, but would be, because I'm sure she would have an interesting answer. Stephanie Lockhart is from the Center of America's First Horse, which is the Spanish Mustang, and owning a Spanish Mustang, I feel like I'm kin to her, and I'm excited to hear what she has to say. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, before we get into the Mustangs, if you could ride any horse, past, present, or future, who would it be?
If I could ride any horse, it would be Hidalgo, of course.
Like the actual Hidalgo or the movie Hidalgo?
the actual Hidalgo, of course. Yeah.
Okay. See, good answer. Write that one
down. That's a good answer because I didn't think of that one.
I didn't either. That's awesome. See, I told you she'd have something good. So, Stephanie, good morning. Thank you for coming on. The Center for America's First Horse, Inc. is located on 70 scenic acres in Johnson, Vermont, providing life-enriching experiences for all ages and experiences. Now, tell us about what, tell everybody who doesn't know, what is the Spanish Mustang? Where do they come from?
The Spanish Mustangs are America's first horses. These were the horses that came with the Spanish explorers 500 years ago. And throughout the last hundreds of years, these horses have evolved and traveled through all parts of the country. The horses that I'm focused on preserving and educating the public about are very different than the American Mustangs, or what some people refer to as the BLM Mustangs. As you know, there were no horses in North America until the Spanish came, and they brought these small, hardy horses with them on the ships. And over hundreds of years, these horses became the horses that the Native Americans used. These were the first cow ponies. And they were the horses in the wars. Over all those years, they became wild, feral. They were trading with the Indians. And through that, there were pockets of these Spanish Mustangs that that became wild. When the cavalry decided to use these Mustangs, they actually did what was called the remount program, and they brought stallions in of European bloodlines, big, heavy draft-type stallions, even thoroughbreds, to try to build up these Spanish herds. But they also killed millions. If you think about what happened with the buffalo, same thing happened with the Spanish horses. They killed millions of them and replaced the herd stallions with these horses of European bloodlines. So those are the horses that are running wild out west that the BLM manages. And they are set apart from the original Spanish Mustangs. Almost 100 years ago, there were a few people, a few families trying to save what they remember of the Spanish horses from the earliest days. And those are the horses that make up the Spanish Mustangs today, which all of them, for the most part, are part of private breeding programs or breeding programs such as myself, which are nonprofits or small businesses, to try to educate and preserve these original horses. And if you put a Spanish Mustang next to a American Mustang or BLM Mustang, you will see so many differences in conformation and even in temperament, a lot of cases. There are very few wild herds that are very, very high in Spanish blood. The Prior horses, the Servant horses in Arizona, and to some extent the Sulphur horses in Utah. So there really aren't many Spanish Mustangs in the wild. They're all part of private breeding programs. And it's estimated that there's less than 3,000. We also have many registries that help track the horses. And us preservationists work together with Dr. Philip Sponnenberg, who's an equine geneticist, to help us with the genetic viability of the breed.
Okay, that was a lot of information.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to bring it back to what I said about having a Spanish Mustang, because I feel like you're being a little bit of a snob and not including somebody else who may have DNA tested their Mustang. So what? I'm just kidding. What is the difference between a Spanish Barb? Because that's what, on your website, it talks a lot of having a Spanish Barb influence. What's the difference between the Spanish Barb and the Barb?
Well, first, I'm just giving you the information as I know it and as I've learned it.
I'm just teasing you.
There are many names for these horses. Colonial Spanish horse, Spanish Barb, Spanish Mustang, Indian Pony. This is something that that has not been agreed upon in the Spanish horse community. Okay, so there, and it all depends on who you talk to. There's controversy whether the Spanish Barb is a separate horse genetically than the Spanish Mustang. There are people that believe that they are the same horse. It really just depends on what registry you're talking to, what registry you're involved with, and it's all personal opinion to some extent. You know, my work with Dr. Spahnenberg has, you know, led me to my own opinions, and they may differ from somebody else's, and that's fine. The bottom line is, although DNA testing is very important, there are other elements that Dr. Spahnenberg looks for to really determine if this horse is of Spanish origin. So one is the DNA. The other is the horse's type, his conformation, very, very subtle aspects of the conformation, and also the history of where this herd or where this individual horse has come from, and can it be documented back. So there's gotcha. Really three factors involved. DNA is not the final factor in determining.
Okay, well, let's move on to how on earth did you get all these Spanish Mustangs that you have, and why Vermont? That seems like very non-Spanish Mustangy area.
Exactly. Well, I've lived in Vermont since 1987, and I've been a professional in the horse industry here since then. So this is my home. 12 years ago, I met an old Spanish family from New Mexico that has been breeding these horses for the last 60 years, and I became the next in line to preserve their horses. And that was, for me, the beginning of getting involved with the breed. Since then, I've become active with other breeders and preservationists throughout the country, and have taken some of their horses for training, for sale, to use in my programs, to secure bloodlines, and also to have an example of the different types of Spanish Mustangs, the different strains, so that I can showcase to people who come to my facility and take a tour to learn more about these horses, that I can show them, this is a horse from the Choctaw Indian tribe. This is a horse from the Northern Plains. This is a Southwest Spanish Mustang whose ancestors, you know, rode him up through Mexico into what is now New Mexico. This is a horse from the Outer Banks of the East Coast. So I can showcase all of these different strains and help people understand about the history of this horse and its significance in America.
What makes if we're going back to the old Spanish, the pure Spanish Mustangs, what differences do they have from the, you know, crossbred through generation Mustangs that are wild on the plains today? What are the differences?
One thing that's most significant is really their size and their body type. These are a very lean, muscled horse with a very distinct feature of an Iberian profile in their head. Their feet are regular size. I've seen a lot of BLM Mustangs that have large feet that would indicate some draft blood in them. They're very short backed. There are some wonderful BLM Mustangs that I've seen that are very Spanish in type. Don't get me wrong at all. And they're beautiful horses, and they make, you know, beautiful animals. And but to really determine the Spanish type, you look at things that are very subtle, such as the amount of hair on their fetlocks. You look at, does the hair on their cornet band you know, exceed a certain length. There's also cross sections of Spanish Mustang bones that have been found and dug up from, you know, many, many years ago, that these Spanish Mustangs have a round cannon bone instead of an oval shaped cannon bone. They also have the wing of Atlas, the first vertebrae, is actually angled and shaped different than modern red horses, and that is a scientific proven fact. So to our eye, we can put two horses together and say, oh, they look pretty similar. But if you scientifically and explore deeper into the bone structure, there are actually some differences.
Now, so what are you doing at the center up there, the Center for America's First Horse in Johnson, Vermont? What are you doing up there?
Johnson, Vermont.
Yep. Just what are you doing with the people that come in? Is anybody allowed to come in? And are you doing clinics? What kind of things do you do there to get the word out?
Yeah, we do all sorts of things. I have a very successful children's program, introducing children to natural horsemanship, and there's a lot of life skills that we know can happen when you work around horses. So I really try to foster children and adults' appreciation for this breed in particular, but horses in general, using natural horsemanship. And I also teach clinics at my facility and beyond. I also take our horses out into the public, to horse fairs, to schools, libraries, really anything where we can. And I have a group of six girls, my demo team, and they take the horses out and show people the kinds of relationships that people can have with horses using, you know, communication. And in addition to that, we have events at our facility where the public is invited to come in and watch demonstrations, learn more about the horses, as well as, you know, somebody picking up the phone and saying, I'm here visiting and I'd like to come see your horses. And I'm more than happy to do private tours to just show people what we're doing.
All right, very good. What's the website?
Website is Center for America's firsthorse.org, and that is all spelled out.
Very good.
We're also on Facebook.
Okay. And just search for Center for America's Horse. First Horse?
Center for America's First Horse.
Okay, got it. Well, thank you, Stephanie. We appreciate you joining us. Visit Center.
Thank you very much.
Visit Center for America's First Horse, either on the web or on Facebook. You can find one of two places. You can see all the pretty pictures of the horses there as well. Well, we are going to go right now to a segment that Jennifer
did. Hold on, just real quick. Let me just follow up. There's a book you guys called Last Chance Mustang, and I think Debbie had him on her show. It's a book by a guy named Mitchell Bornstein. And if you are interested in kind of the entire history of how the Spanish, this guy did some studying. It's amazing. He studied from like the Spanish bringing them there and different. He gives the history of the Mustang like I've never read before. And it's called Last Chance Mustang. And it's about this one Mustang that he saved, but Mitchell Bornstein. It's super interesting. Even if you don't care about him training this Mustang, it's just the whole middle of the book is all history.
Cool. Very good. Well, and I don't think she got that you were kidding, by the way. I think
I did a test at Thor. He came up Barb. I wanted to talk about it. She was not interested in hearing about my BLM Mustang.
And your lesser Mustang.
Yeah.
So I don't think she got that you were kidding. Some people just don't get your sense of humor. That's all.
Well, you have to listen to the show to know how I am. Like you said, give me a week and then you'll start to understand.
Then you'll get her. That's right. Me, you can understand in 2 minutes because I just got nothing. So, All right, let's go to Kentucky Performance Products. Jennifer had a chance to talk to Karen about beet pulp. We're coming up on wintertime, and a lot of people use beet pulp. And there were a couple things in here that I didn't know. That
I feed beet pulp every day, so I'm really excited about
pulp. All right, well, you're
going to
learn some things.
I'm screwing my horses up right now.
You're going to learn some things. Here we go. And she talks about one particular myth that I didn't know either.
Oh, no, I'm in trouble. This is going to cost me money.
And once again, I get to do the supplement segment with Karen Isberg from Kentucky Performance Products. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you, Jen.
Winter is right around the corner. And once winter rolls around, and it's going to get here faster than we think, everybody's going to be freaking out because they need to get weight on their horse. They need to get more fiber into their horse. And today's topic, beet pulp, is something that's going to be on everybody's mind very shortly.
Exactly. And, you can use beet pulp in multiple different situations, and that's why I end up talking about it a lot. So oftentimes, I'll be talking to somebody on the phone that has an easy keeper that needs some supplements, and they're like, but I don't feed him anything. I don't feed him any grain. What am I going to do? And that's when I recommend beet pulp. And then on the flip side, if you have a hard keeper that, you just have a lot of trouble getting enough calories in, then you can use beet pulp to add additional fiber as an energy source, especially if you're dealing with low-quality hay, if there's hay shortages or things like that. So it's a great product to use. It has a lot of different uses. Real quick, beet pulp is a byproduct of the sugar beet industry. It's the pulp that's left over after the sugar has been removed. It's easily fermented or broken down by the microflora in your horse's hind gut, and that's why it contributes energy to the horse. And it contributes energy to the horse itself, and also to the microflora in the gut. So you're doing, you're servicing two digestive tracts at that point, the little microbe and your horse.
I didn't know that.
Double bent.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it
fed
the guys.
That's why it's called the super fiber.
Aha. Yep. So a pound. Now, whenever when one is measuring beet pulp and saying how much beet pulp do I give my horse, it's always measured dry. So when somebody says your horse should have a pound of beet pulp, you measure it out a pound of dry, and then you rehydrate. Now, a lot of people say you daresn't feed beet pulp unless it's been rehydrated. Where do you stand on that?
That has been proven to be false. That's just an old wives' tale. The old wives' tale goes because people saw how much moisture it absorbed in the bucket. They think, oh, you put that in your horse's stomach, it's going to absorb all the moisture, and your horse's stomach is going to pop. And that's just not true. Huh, so it doesn't work that way. It moves through the gut, and as it moves through the gut, it picks up moisture. And as it moves through the gut, it's quickly digested, and it's not a problem. So you can feed it dry, or you can feed it soaked. Now, some people also are concerned with choke, and they'll say, oh, you can't feed it dry because it'll cause a horse to choke. But just like anything, choke is caused by a lack of lubrication in between the mouth and the stomach. So if you have a horse that eats too fast, then he doesn't have enough saliva to lubricate the food as it goes down the trachea, or not the trachea, the esophagus. Or if they, they're not drinking enough, if they're an old horse that has an issue and it's not chewing things well enough, then that stops it from moving down the esophagus. So if you have a horse that you've had issues with choke, or if you're worried about that, then just add some water to your beet pulp.
There you go. So everybody talks about using beet pulp as adding calories to their diet. How does it compare to a pound of oats or a pound of hay calorie-wise?
Okay, well, the digestible energy is 1.3 to 1.5 megacalories per pound. So that's the digestible energy number. And that falls somewhere between alfalfa hay and oats.
Oh.
Yep.
Very interesting. It's
right there in the middle. It's about 15% fiber. It runs 8 to 10% protein. But it's not a good source of lysine. And lysine is the first limiting amino acid in a horse's diet. In other words, proteins are made out of amino acids. They're like the building blocks. And you have to have certain amino acids to make a protein. And lysine is one of the most important ones. So it's very important that a horse has enough lysine in their diet. So if you have a young horse, then you want to be careful if you're feeding more than 3 pounds of bee pulp a day, that you add some lysine to the diet, because bee pulp is not a good source of lysine. For most of your older horses, if they're getting any kind of a concentrate and they're getting hay, they're getting enough lysine. And you don't feed more than 3 pounds of bee pulp a day, then you don't have to be concerned about it. You know, bee pulp doesn't have a lot of vitamins in it. It also is high in calcium and low in phosphorus and selenium. So again, you want to stay around that 3 pound mark. If you feed more than 3 pounds a day of bee pulp, you want to make sure you balance that ration with a ration balancer for vitamins and minerals, so you don't run into problem with imbalances.
So I'm seeing a lot more feed companies using bee pulp as one of the major ingredients in their feed concentrates. And whenever you use bee pulp that way, the feed company has taken care of that balancing act, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. They do. The feed, most of your concentrates are called fortified concentrates. So a nutritionist has looked at that, and they have balanced that food, that feedstuff. So they put in whatever ingredients they have, like oats and beet pulp and soy hulls and other good things for your horse. And then they add what they call a balancing pellet to it, which has the vitamins and minerals needed for the horse. As long as it's fed at the correct rates, then you'll get the vitamins and minerals you need.
So that's kind of the basics of beet pulp. Is there anything else we need to know about beet pulp?
Well, just a couple of fun facts.
I love fun facts.
Yeah, when you're using hay to replace beet pulp, calorie-wise, it's basically 1 to 1.5 pounds of hay per every pound of beet pulp. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. And you can replace some of your hay with beet pulp, because beet pulp is a super fiber. But you don't want to replace it all, obviously, because you can't feed enough. And two, because your horse needs a certain amount of long stem fiber in their system. We already talked about beet pulp can be fed dry or soaked. When you go to soak it, you add 2 times as much water as the beet pulp, and you let it sit. It can sit for 15 minutes, or it can sit for up to 2 hours. If you use warm water, the water will be absorbed faster than if you use cold water. But you don't want to use hot water, because that will decrease the nutrient value.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
Cook it. Yeah, that's no. You don't want to cook it. And then once you can soak it in the winter when it's cold, you can leave soaked beet pulp sitting out for about 12 hours before it starts to ferment. But in warm conditions, you have to be really careful because it'll ferment and mold much quicker.
Yeah, I found that out.
You're in Florida, so you know.
Yeah, we don't let ours sit out more than about 2 hours during the daytime here. And one of the things we did when I lived in Massachusetts, I had about 40 horses under my care, and the horses were only there in the winter because they were fox hunting horses. So everybody got beet pulp every day. And what we did was take a big 5-gallon pail and drill it full of holes. So it essentially created a sieve, and we'd fill it with beet pulp about halfway, because of course it expands. And we'd fill that with water, and we'd set it inside of an old refrigerator that was in the feed room. And we took all the racks out of the refrigerator so it could sit inside. And then in the morning, we'd do it in the evening. In the morning, we'd take it out and take it across the hallway to the wash rack, pull that sieve out and set it on the ground, let the water run out of it, and then feed it. And then start the process anew at the end of that. So in the evening, that same bucket would be filled up again. And it worked out really conveniently to feed a huge amount of beet pulp to all these horses.
And had it all ready to go.
It's all ready to go.
Fluffy and light and soft after it's soaked in all that water.
Yeah, and it was easy to do. And it didn't ferment because it was inside of a refrigerator. So even if it was warmer, it stayed fresh. But I totally get it with the fermenting thing. That can happen in a heartbeat. So if you if you've been soaking beet pulp and you take the lid off of it, or you stick your nose in there and it smells a little bit like beer, don't use that.
Don't feed it. No. Not good. Absolutely. And for people that have sugar-sensitive horses, they want to get the sugar-free beet pulp without molasses in it. That's important. I think most people use the sugar-free anyway now. You know, if you have a horse that's picky, you can feed some molasses to them. It's not going to hurt them, as long as they're not insulin resistant or really susceptible to starch and sugars. That's fine. It'll help them eat it. But most people like to use the sugar-free.
See, I get the regular kind.
Yeah. And if you're If you are adding supplements to it, which is one of the main reasons I recommend bee pulp, is, again, like I said at the beginning when we first started talking, is, you know, you don't want to feed your horse a cup of grain. They're not getting anything from it. It's not enough to give them vitamins and minerals. So you need something to put your supplements in. You know, you need something to put your microphase, your vitamin and mineral pellet in. You need something to put your Keraform hoof and coat conditioner in. Well, then you mix up some bee pulp. You mix it in. It's just before you feed it. You don't want to let it sit in that moisture because that tends to break down vitamins and minerals. It's not particularly good for, well, especially the vitamins. And then you feed that to your horse and he'll just be happy. And you'll know that the bee pulp is helping his hind gut to remain healthy and that you're giving him some calories and you're getting your supplements in all at once.
There we go. A great solution to carry your horse's required supplements into his tummy happily and safely.
Yes.
There we go. Well, thank you very much, Karen. For folks who have even more question marks floating around above their head than they did before, how can they find KPP or Kentucky Performance Products?
Well, they can go on there on the World Wide Web there and go to kppusa.com. We have a really great blog called Tips and Topics that just has tons and tons of articles about all kinds of things on it. If you don't find what you're looking for there, you can call us from Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, at 859-873-2974. We can answer your questions there. And then you can always visit us on Facebook. We put up lots of posts, and you can leave us a Facebook message, and we'll get back to you there. So several ways to get hold of us.
Okay, so what jumped out at you there, JB?
I am not going to feed my horses dry bee pulp.
That was what jumped out at me, too.
I don't even think they would eat that. I mean, I have three buckets and three big trash cans of food. And twice my horses have tried to, I always keep keep them bungee corded. And one time, Chili worked so hard to get the bungee cord off, opened the bee pulp. It was dry bee pulp. He walked away.
He said, screw that. I'm not.
He's like, no, thanks.
You know, I don't think she was saying to feed dry bee pulp. I think what she was saying is it's probably not going to kill your horse. Now, Jennifer made a good point. We were chatting off the air here. She made a good point. Jennifer, you said that, you know, obviously choke could be a problem if they're not chewing it enough and getting enough saliva in with it.
Yeah, she said that in the thing. So, yeah. So you got to just be careful, be responsible. I always thought that the beer smell was a good smell, Jen, because I would then drink the...
Good for you, not so much your horse. Good,
yeah.
Gotcha. So not for me. Okay. Yeah, it's really interesting because part of my Monty Roberts test was the ratio of calcium and phosphorus versus lysine and proteins and the building blocks of proteins. One of them is lysine. I was like, oh, it's everywhere. I can't shake it.
Well, I'll tell you how we can shake it. Let's listen to this.
In the tradition of legendary champions Secretariat and Seabiscuit, there is one remarkable story that sets itself apart from the rest. One horse, one man, and an unbreakable bond.
Mr. Dallaire is the man who saved the legendary horse, Snowman.
Snowman and I clicked right away. I paid $80 for him.
Discarded for $80, but destined for greatness.
All eyes this week have been on underdogs Harry Dallaire and Snowman. They've been on an unprecedented East Coast winning streak. Harry Dallaire and Snowman have done it. They have won the 1958 Triple Crown.
He got so close to me, and he got so close to my kids, that he was part of the family.
Snowman would do anything my dad asked of him, and I believe that is because Snowman understood that my dad saved him.
Snowman was more than just a horse to me. He was my best friend.
Snowman, the Cinderella horse, touched the heart of a family and inspired a nation. Experience the love and friendship of Harry and Snowman.
I got goosebumps just watching it. So please tell me this was good.
Oh my gosh. First of all, It is, let me just start with the beginning. Before the movie even started, there was a preview for a movie called Collateral Beauty. It's a Will Smith, Keira Knightley, Helen Mirren. There is a movie that is going to come out called Collateral Beauty. And that preview had me bawling, like ugly crying. Okay.
Jeez.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm like super sensitive. I've already come in. I've sat down in the theater. I'm already crying. Next preview that comes on, this dog starts talking and Chad's like, oh good. Thank God you're not going to cry. It's a talking dog. Oh, a dog's purpose. It's a trailer about a dog going through life, helping people and trying to figure out his purpose in life. And I start ugly crying again.
Chad's going, what the hell did I do this for?
He's like, are you okay? And he's like, the movie hasn't even started yet. Like, oh my God. And then the dog movie came on. I was like, I'm never seeing that thing. Collateral Beauty, I will see because it's Kate Winslet. And it just looked amazing.
And can I give you a clue what Chad's thinking at that point? It's what every guy's thinking at that point. They're thinking that on the birthday, we're guaranteed to have some fun later. And you were crying your eyeballs out. And he's going, oh, geez.
Nobody wants to make out with a girl who's snotty. Okay. It just doesn't want to happen. But look up Collateral Beauty, December of Christmas time. Oh, my God. It's going to be amazing. Okay. So I've already kind of a shaken down mess when the movie starts, okay? And actually, you know, if you look at the movie as a whole, I really only ugly cried twice in the movie. So it's not that bad. Like,
well, it's a documentary, right? They're not doing it as a drama.
It's, yes, right? Yeah, it's not a Hollywood drama. And you know what? That's the part that I didn't like about it, was I wanted more snowman drama. They kind of made the movie, it's called Harry and Snowman, and the central focus of the movie was the relationship and the career of Harry and Snowman. But at the beginning and a lot of the end, it was very much on his family, talking about his family, and some of his kids talked and what happened with him and his wife and like the whole thing. And so I wanted more Harry and Snowman. And I wondered if they didn't get the rights to play the Johnny Carson, because I really wanted to see the entire Harry and Snowman on Johnny Carson. They only played a 32-second clip of that. They played like when the reveal of when he was Guess Who It Is or whatever. He, a lot of the old TV shows that he was on, they played small clips. And it's like, I wanted to see more of those. I wanted to see more of all of that. They did have some amazing video come from those days. And the video of Snowman jumping the other horses, they had that video. They really did a wonderful job putting this movie together. It was awesome. I wanted to cry more. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't care about your stupid kids. Nobody cares about your stupid wife. Like, I want to hear about you. I'm just kidding. So yeah, it was really good. It wasn't the Hollywood draw. I really hope that Hollywood makes this movie, because it would be just amazing. And the general picture that you're going to get of Harry Dallaire is, you know, he's still showing. He still rides. He still teaches. There were some really cool moments, but in the end, you know, and not that this is a spoiler alert, but he's kind of just, it's kind of sad. I was pretty sad actually, because Chad was like, he just won't quit. And I'm like, that's the kind of guy that, like, if he quits riding and showing and being part of the horse world, he's 85 years old. If he quits, he dies. You know, so I thought that there was no other way for him to be. Okay.
Didn't we have this discussion the other day about old guys who never quit? We had this discussion,
yes,
with Victoria.
We did.
Yeah.
Harry Dallaire is that guy. I felt sad because I felt like he's lonely, you know, like it's kind of a old guy that goes to horse shows every weekend kind of by himself. It seemed like, I'm sure he has students, but it was, I just wanted to hug him. Honestly, I just want to give him a big hug and tell him that we love him. And his daughter kind of, she was really magical talking about Snowman. And then she kind of trashed him a little bit in a very passive aggressive way. Which I have a passive aggressive radar because I know somebody very close to me who's passive aggressive. And so I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Wow. She's passive aggressive. And so she kind of said some negative things, which I just didn't feel like it needed to be part of the movie. Now let's get to Harry. This dude's amazing. And picking up that horse was amazing. It shows him riding. Okay. And Jennifer, talk to me for a second. When did the position change from clipping your heels together behind the horse when you're in midair to like actually riding with a strong lower leg?
Well, I actually saw Harry Delyer ride once when I was a kid at the Harrisburg Horse Show, one of the indoors. And it was a big deal. Place went crazy when Harry was there. And I just remember watching, because my riding instructor at the time was an equitation instructor, going, really? You can get famous by riding this way? Why the, you know, what am I working so hard?
So it was not just me that was like watching this going, oh my, like, I don't know how he stayed on.
Crazy, crazy, just...
I feel like, though, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, you saw a lot of that.
A lot of that. That's what I'm saying. When did that change?
I think it changed, in the 60s and 70s is when that started to change. I could be totally wrong, but that's if you look at pictures like through the Chronicle through time and stuff, that's when you see that start to change. We need to get somebody on to talk about that because that would be interesting.
We need to get George Morris on. By the way, he was in the movie and he was just fantastic. I mean, he was just George Morris, and he just talked. I just love listening to him talk, and he was really interesting. A good part of it, and I was pretty surprised that he was in it. I didn't know that he was going to be a part of it, so it was good. He talked about watching Harry Blair, and he talked about how the hunters were the high society elite crowd, and the jumpers were kind of the rough and tumble poor guys. And it was very accurate, and it was really interesting to hear his take on that. And you know, back in the day, they like the media covered horse shows. Harry and Snowman were super famous because horse shows mattered back then. You know, now they matter to us, but you know what? You're not going to turn on the 6 o'clock news and see the results of a horse show. So it was really
All right. So the bottom line, was it worth the 2 hour drive back and forth?
I am really glad we went. Yes, I think it is. So basically what you're asking me is, should you drive to Ocala or Gainesville to go see it?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, do it. Why not? You only live once. Now, granted, you can buy this on DVD, I just read, in a month. But do you want to wait a month? You want to see it on the big screen. It's just really good. And it was really short. Like, it wasn't a movie that I was like, oh, when is this going to end? Because most movies are like that. It actually just ended. It was pretty short, 90 minutes in and out.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Thank you. If you, six flakes and a bale, what do you give it?
Five. I wanted less of the kids. Okay. I wanted more snowman.
This is the woman who has her kid we can hear in the background.
Yeah, that's funny. He's playing with a tiger. Exactly. Less freaking kids. Good God. Why is that hard to understand?
All right,
more horse, less kids. It's the theme of my life, Glenn.
We're going to hear now from, we had an opportunity at the last ADA to catch up with Wendy Murdoch, who is a very popular author in the horse world. And she has a product out there that's a little, you know, it takes a little bit to understand, but we've had some entries in Really Bad Ads this week because this is the prize. So we wanted to share this with you. After Wendy gets done talking about her product and what we're giving away, we have some really good, really bad ads. We'll be right back after this.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
We have a previous guest of ours. Wendy Murdoch is with us, and you have a product I have not seen before called Surefoot. So tell us what that's about.
Hi. I came up with this product about 4 years ago, and I call it Surefoot because it really changes the horse's relationship to the ground. Every rider wants a horse that's sure-footed, that's calm and relaxed. And with Surefoot, you can achieve that in as little as 10 seconds in some cases. I know that sounds really incredible and awesome, and it's really hard to believe, but I've had experiences like when I was at Equine Affair in November, and I had a horse named Fluffy, and she came into the arena.
And she wasn't Fluffy?
She was a little chicken pony, right? She came into the arena, and when they put the roll down, door down, she got really upset, and the woman was trying to do her groundwork, and I picked up a Surefoot pad. I walked over. I had 200 people in the audience. I lifted her foot. I placed her foot on the pad. She immediately dropped her neck and took a breath. And so in under 10 seconds, this horse relaxed. And it amazed the audience. But that wasn't really the incredible part with that horse. Because then I worked with her a little bit on the ground, just placing a pad underneath the horse's foot. And what you do is you allow the horse to step off. So it's not training.
Well, let's explain what the pad is first.
The pads are these 12 by 10 2-inch thick foam pads with a dual surface. There's the surface on the top that's diffuse, and you can always tell it by the color, which color codes the different densities. And then the other side is a direct surface. So every pad has two surfaces. We've developed these horse durable pads. They're really easy to work with. They're lightweight. They're really durable because you're talking about putting anything from a 800-pound pony to an 18-hand horse on these pads.
So you have they're rectangles, yes, of foam, and some of them are angled and some are not.
Right. Some are rectangles, and the angled ones change the angle of the horse's joints. So when you use those on the back feet, they're going to change the angle of the pastern, the hock, the stifle, and the hip.
Okay, so we're talking about pads, and I think people are going, my horse is going to wear a 12-foot. They're picturing a clown shoe.
Yeah.
So this is not the purpose. What do you do with the pads?
You place the horse's foot on the pad. You allow them to stand there if they want to. And if they walk off, you let them walk off. So it's an offer. And I always say, like, if you go to McDonald's, they offer you fries with your burger. The choice is yes or no. So the horse gets to choose. But the really interesting thing is that the horses choose to stand on the pads because they provide them with comfort. Everybody wants to bring their horse comfort, and they want to be associated with that comfort. And that's the thing that Surefoot can offer.
How long do you stand them on it?
Some horses, it's as little as just touching the pad. And I had one horse that stood on it for an hour and wouldn't get off. I don't recommend an hour,
I'm confused as to what it does for the horse.
Well, this is the interesting thing. And like, I go back to Fluffy's story. She touched the pad and she relaxed. So it shifts horse from fight and flight to grazing. We don't totally understand the mechanism. And I've talked to a lot of veterinarians and physiotherapists and Dr. Adair at UT Tennessee, who's in charge of rehab. He thinks we're changing the proprioception. But there's also this other brain chemical thing going on where the horse goes from fight and flight to grazing. And it can happen in as little as 2 seconds. It's just astounding.
Yeah, we see our horses do that.
Yeah.
Fight to flight to grazing.
Because they can certainly go from grazing to flight just that quick. But,
right.
But you're saying by...
Ours can do it with their mouths full.
Yeah, but this is standing on the pad.
When he stands on the pad, it changes something chemically in the horse to get that switch to go back to non-flight, to graze, relax, comfort.
Right.
Why are there different densities of pad?
Because every horse is a little bit different, and each pad density offers the horse another little feeling. So I have people stand on the pads all the time, and they do exactly what the horses do. They test them, and they sway, and they rock, and then they step on the next one. And you want to keep bringing the horse's awareness to his foot, because all the horse gets is those four little feet, no matter how big he is. Right? If he's 18 hands or if he's a little pony, that's all he gets to stand on. That's less surface area than your feet for your height. Mm-hmm. So when that horse meets the ground with that foot, if he's not meeting it in a really secure way, a really solid way, he's not going to be secure to the ground. And so things are going to disturb him. Right? So if I'm standing a little off to the side and something comes at me, I'm already out of balance and I'm going to keep going. And that's going to make me upset. But if I feel like my feet are really grounded, I can look at that thing and assess it and go, oh, that's not a big deal. I don't need to react.
So when someone purchases the pads, and it comes in a set of four pads.
A set of two pads, and a DVD is included with every pad.
And then the DVD explains what you do with it, why you do it, how you do it?
Yes.
So it's all kind of a package system.
And so the DVD is really, really thorough. It takes you through the process of how you introduce the horse to the pads. Some horses being more flighty at first, you've got to make sure that it's safe, right? That's the big key, is everybody's safe. And you introduce the pad to the horse. And again, it's not training. So you allow the horse to step off. And that's a hard concept for people to get. Right? Everybody wants their horse to behave and be good. And with Surefoot, we're looking at how does the horse respond as opposed to making the horse stand on the pad.
Huh. That is kind of a hard concept to get your head around. So the different shapes and different densities, you offer them to the horse because you're asking if he wants fries with that.
And right. Are they standing on one at a time?
Well, I was going to ask that next question.
Yeah. Right. Well, you always start with one foot and one pad, right? And you watch the horse. And if the horse just takes a big breath and drops its head and goes, I just love this, then you can obviously go to two pads. But if the horse is like, I'm not sure about this, then maybe you do 10 minutes with the pads and leave it that day. On the DVD, there's a horse where we spent about 40 minutes with him, and he couldn't stay on the pads for more than 10 seconds. We put him back in the barn and let him rest. And when he came back out, he stood on all four pads and went to sleep. So it's just as important to give the horse time to process this new information that they gather through the pad in their foot relationship to the ground as it is with people, because we learn a lot in the rest periods. So that's why when you stand on the pads, you always take them for a walk. And the idea is we want the horse to go back to feeling the ground and relating differently to the ground. It's not about living on the pads. It's about gaining an experience from the pads and then going back to the ground.
I hope they're tough, because my Hackney pony, the first thing he's going to do is reach down, grab it, and throw it across the,
he's going to use it for a chew toy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's why we made these horse durable pads.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, he's going
to
eat it.
Yeah, we really worked hard to make a pad that's going to stand up to the abuse of a horse. And so we were a year and a half in development.
But is it stand
pads.
Up to the abuse of a Hackney pony?
Because sure.
That's a complete other level. That takes any horse out of the picture.
Yeah. Hackney pony, ex-race horse, draft horse, whatever you have.
Even race horses.
They're going to want a paw on it, too, to see what it is.
Anecdotally, I worked with 5 race horses, and every one of them won their next race. Now, I'm not saying that Surefoot's the reason they won their next race, but I did work on 5 horses, and they all won their next race.
Well, say that.
Yeah. I'm sure these things are going to be available online, and they're fascinating. So where can folks find them online?
They can go to my website, murdochmethod.com, or to surefootequine.com. And we have a Facebook page, Surefoot Equine, that has a lot of case histories and studies. I have veterinarians giving testimonial about how they see the differences in the horses in their practice. Dr. Joyce Harmon, Dr. Rosemary Ganser, and Dr. Donna Waffle down in Florida, and you're back there. They all are so impressed with the results that they see, because they last. I mean, the horse on the video, we did one 40-minute session, and she went from twisting her neck as she trotted to having her neck let down and straight. And we only ever did one session, and that stuck. Now, I'm not saying that kind of result's going to work with every horse, but you know, you can use this with horses that are recovering from injury, that are painful, that are anxious, that you want to calm down, that you want a better relationship with your horse, because the horse recognizes you're the one who brought them comfort. You know, my students, the biggest problem they say they have when I do Surefoot with their horses won't leave me.
Well, then you can get them for yourself, and maybe your horse
good
won't want to leave you.
That's exactly right.
And if you have a wife that's thinking of leaving, have her stand on.
And her stand on. Absolutely. MurdochMethod.com. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you so much.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week where we do some really bad ads, and the prize is a pair of those firm Surefoot pads for worth $129. Thank you to Wendy Murdoch for donating those for this month's prize and really bad ads. So this is the time of the week when listeners submit usually really bad Craigslist ads, and we read them and have a little fun. And Jamie, we do have some listeners who have read their own again this week, so that'll be fun. Why don't we get started? This is from Renegade Equine. That's a funny name. I wonder how their parents named him that. 18-year-old gelding, $900 in Deer Park, Washington. Oh, we're out of the South for a change, thank God.
Oh, my gosh.
Due to a certain, I am needing to rehome my horse Gunner. He is 15 and a half hands tall. I'm not sure if his breed. I know he has some Appaloosa in him. I got him last summer. He isn't for a beginner because he will test you. But what horse doesn't? Well, actually, there's a lot of horses that don't. He was on a pasture when I got him, and now he is not. He has lost some weight, but not super skinny. He will come with no tack, but will come with over 3 tons of hay, cash only. Okay, wait a minute. If you've got a super skinny horse, why aren't you feeding him the hay?
Feed him the dang hay. Yeah. And you know what? If I can get 3 tons of hay for $900, is that a good deal? Because I'll just take the hay.
Yeah, just take the hay. You keep the horse. You can keep Gunner. I'll take the hay. Obviously, you're not feeding it to him anyway.
Yeah.
This is Robin, who sent in her own today.
6-year-old unpapered mare, $400, Milton Freewater, Oregon. Looking to sell or trade, ... We just got this mare 30 days ago. Was sold to us as a project horse. Project horse is an understatement. Was told she loads in a trailer better than any horse the lady had seen. That was the truth. She loads herself. Our mistake was assuming that loads great meant halter broke, ... She is not, but does have a halter on. But raising horses my whole life, we thought her age should mean she is willing to learn. We took her off pasture and put her in a stall as soon as we got her here and have worked with her daily to try to get her to where we can start training her for our grandkids. 30 days and we have gotten our hands on her 3 times in our round corral. Can't get a hold of her in the stall. We are senior citizens and can't muscle her like we used to be able to if need be. We have made a point not to traumatize her. We wanted to start to trust us. She is just not giving to anything. I think she would make some beautiful babies, but we don't want a brood mare. We wanted something we could work with for our grandchildren. We would trade her for a greenbroke or better small horse, just not a stud. Anyone want to trade or buy a brood mare? We just can't make progress with her. Maybe someone else can. She is not mean or spooky, just doesn't want to be messed with.
Oh my God, please. It is a grade abused grade horse. You are not going to breed this horse. Please do not breed this horse. Somebody remove that horse's ovaries right now. That's the first problem. Second problem, hey, Grandma, why the hell are you buying a horse for your grandkids that you're going to train yourself and you can't muscle them around like you used to? That's a train wreck. Good God, horse, you're better off.
I am so glad that ad wasn't in the Arizona Craigslist, because Jamie would have been able to get it that day.
I'd have a broodmare in the back. Unpapered, unregistered, formerly abused broodmare. But my God, I'm going to get her fixed for the grandkids. Oh my God.
When I was listening to that, I was going, oh my God, Jamie's got to be jumping through the mic right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the one bright spot is they were like, we need another baby that we can train for our grandkids. Oh, but we don't want no studs. Oh, thank God. You're really, really limiting your search there.
All right. Let's continue because you're in a mood today. Yes. Nicole, you're up. You're up with Nicole's.
Okay. Nicole Lutzma sent this one in. Alex enjoys candlelit dinners. Because he loves nothing more than he loves food. Do not expect long walks by the beach, however, as that resembles exercise. Instead, Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome wants to help you improve your physique by forcing you to work harder than what should be humanly possible so as to enjoy his large, comfortable gates. He requires an experienced handler on the ground as he is regrettably magnetized to it as soon as grass is within close proximity. Jet. He also enjoys the occasional dragon snort and investigating all the things with his mouth. Under saddle, though, he is patient, forgiving, and quiet. Really quiet. Like, is he asleep quiet? He's recently coming back into work and is still working on building his fitness and conditioning. Lex is a 16-3, Lex is 16-3 and best suited for dressage, though he rides quietly to fences. His ideal date is a competent adult, 21 and over, part boarder for 2 to 3 days a week. That is hilarious.
It's a big horse, too. I see the picture. This is a big horse.
Fat, warm blood. You could just see that horse being so lazy. Oh, my gosh.
I love the fact that people can't see this picture, but it's a picture of this big warm blood. I mean, big. And they have whited out the rider, and in the rider's area where it's whited out, it says, this could be you.
I think I guess they're trying to lease him.
Yeah, I guess. I think that was also not very clear in the ad, but yeah, I love that one. I got to get some sappy music for these ones that sound like dating ads. I'll get that lined up for next week.
Please do.
All right, the next one. Allison sent this one in. Allison Ball, thank you very much. It was an ad from Facebook. And it's
I don't even know what to say about this.
I don't either. Horses for sale, lease, part board in Ontario. See, even Canadians suck at this. 8-year-old draft donkey. $700 in Barrie, Ontario. He jumps and runs pretty good. 8 years old. 265,000 kilometers. Needs timing belt and apex seals replaced soon. Good tread left on tires. No low ballers. And there's a picture of a zebra.
Was somebody just bored and wrote this ad?
I don't know. It's like a mixture of three different ads. Were they drunk at the time? They were trying to do a draft donkey ad and an ad for their pickup truck, and they mixed them up?
Draft donkey pickup truck and the pictures of a zebra. It's got to be a joke. I just think that it's hilarious. It's October 21st. This ad, you know, let's just say that it was done at the beginning of the week, which would put it around October 17th. Is when this ad was done. And people in Ontario are so bored because there's so much snow on the ground that this is what they have to do. They can't go outside. I mean, it's October in Canada. It's got to be like knee deep in snow right now.
Well, that qualifies as a really bad ad.
That was funny. Horse. Oh, my God. This is new. I've never seen this. I've never seen this kind of horse trailer for sale. Antique horse trailer. Antique horse trailer tires are ancient, have title. Good trailer frame for project. Pick it up today. Rolls, but probably not legal to haul. $1,000. This is it's a wooden, like one of those kind of wooden horse trailers that may be rusted if you could see it through all of the moss. And what would you call that? Like,
I don't know. It's covered in moss. Usually we see them covered in rust. This one's covered in moss.
This is like mold and mildew and yes. Moss yes. covering this trailer. It looks like something that should be part of like some medieval
or a horror movie.
It's really freaky.
You know, if it was a horror movie, there'd be a clown jumping out.
It's
you know
a Dagobah
that, right?
Horse trailer. Yeah. It came from the swampy planet of Dagobah where we meet Yoda with all that moss
that
on
it. Could
top.
Be, yeah.
Oh, there's so many people that understand what you're talking about right now. That's really funny. I don't.
Yeah, that's pretty crap. Jennifer will post that one on Horses in the Morning. It's one of those you just have to see to believe.
You just have to see it. I don't I don't get it. I'm nervous. By the way, you mentioned clowns. Can I just go ahead and point out that shiz has gotten out of control?
I did
the one story months ago about the woman who found a clown in her bedroom at 4 a.m. with an axe, and somebody would be dead. He would be dead from a gunshot, or I'd be dead from a heart attack if that happened.
You'll
to me.
Never do now, one of those stories again.
The clown thing has taken off. It's gone crazy. I think it's our listeners because I brought that story up to them. But did you see I posted it on my Facebook page? And it was if clowns learn to ride horses. Yes. And it's somebody in the back
of the truck. It was our friend Gascon who did the one with the dragon, too, where he was in a dragon outfit. Same guy on the Pacifinos.
Oh, and the dinosaur.
The dinosaur. T-rex. Yeah, the dinosaur. That's right. It was dinosaur. He's done several of these. I met him at Road to the Horse. He actually sat in on the live show with us for a little while. He's a super nice guy.
That guy needs to be shot.
I did not know that Pacifinos went that fast.
That guy needs to be shot because I can't get that out of my brain. And now from now on, if I'm trail riding in the woods, I'm going to think that there's somebody that's going to jump out in a clown suit with a sword and chase me.
Well, you hope your Mustang can run faster than a Pacifino. That's damn your only thing. Hope.
I'm getting another OTTB. That's it. Defense.
All right. Rachel sent in the next one and she's going to tell us about it.
This is Rachel from Vegas. And since I want this month's prize with the same amount of fervor as that little boy in Better Off Dead wants his $2, I'm sending in some voice ads. Could be bad, but by golly, I'm giving it a shot. So this first one is from our local Craigslist, and it is entitled, Beautiful Black PRE and Illusion for Sale, $26. Now, before I go on, I'm just going to say, there are 9 pictures of this horse on this ad. Every single one of these pictures is something like straight out of a magazine. He is the stuff little girls' dreams are made of. Like, this horse is prettier than Chris Hemsworth, Kate Beckinsale, and Henrik Lundqvist all combined.
That's a pretty horse.
That's a pretty horse.
So here we go. Very nice, solid black Andalusian PRE stallion for sale. Bomb-proof stallion anyone can ride. Does Piaf, Spanish walk, dressage. Call for more info. Asking $26,000 or best offer. I can do payments. I could also trade for a diesel truck with some cash. Or I could trade for some muscle cars, too. Let me know. Thanks.
Okay. You know who's selling that? The ex got the horse. That's who's selling that.
I'm interested in trading my truck for that horse. So can I get her number? Yeah. That'd be awesome.
How did the ex end up with the $26,000 PRE?
Man, you got it right. You're right.
How did he end up with that in a divorce? I mean, I don't get that. Did she have just the crappiest lawyer ever?
What? I'm going to assume she died.
Well, let's hope somebody would give up that horse.
Let's not hope, but we're going to assume. We're going to assume she died because that's the only way that anybody would let go one of those horses.
Yeah. And by the way, I love your description, Rachel, there of the three. It was a good choice for describing beauty.
Chris Hemsworth. It's like it's a love child. It was really more beautiful than. Okay, the next one is from Michelle. It's free to get home. That's always something really special. Free to get home, $100. But it's free. Free. Free to a forever home. 15 to 18 year old paint mare. Still needs some weight. Can only do light walk trot arena work with a very light rider. Absolutely no trails. And as a pasture pup friend would be most ideal, but not necessary. Up to date on everything. Which leads me to the fine print. You mean you weren't selling it enough before? Okay, fine print. Scarlet is microchipped and comes with no sale agreement. Once she leaves our place, that's it. You're the final destination. You cannot resale her, flip her, or dump her. You are it. You are fully committing to death, do we part. And if you think I'm joking, let me just say, I may be nice, but I'm just about the craziest horsewoman you will ever meet. I promise you. I make melodramatics between FHR, TL, and HCHR look like kindergarten squander. So keep it in mind that if you do me or this horse wrong, it will be a grave mistake. I'll go 50 shades of cray cray and hunt you down like a rabid animal. So if you think you are it, shoot me a text, email, or call, and we can go to figuring this all out. Thanks for your time and consideration! Exclamation point.
Oh my God.
Oh. My God.
I don't even know what to say to this woman. This is one I would call and find out if she's heard from anybody because Would you call this woman? No.
No, hell no. I don't even want to call her to find out what happened.
She will haunt you after you die. This woman will come back after you die and haunt your grave.
Listen, if you're so wrapped up in this horse, freaking keep it. It's your job and your responsibility to keep track of it and to take care of it. You know, people get in situations and you're going to have to let the horse go. You can't just be like, I'll kill you if you sell this horse. I'll kill you. You can't guarantee that. Nobody can.
Oh, it's microchipped, though, and she's going to track you down.
Just because it's microchipped does not mean that it has GPS.
I was just going to say that. Does she think that you can just have a GPS tracker and find the microchip someplace?
It's insane. That's insane.
And I love how she says, you're the final destination, but there's no sale agreement. I'm not responsible when this horse is a nut job.
Let me just say, I may be naive. What does this mean? I make the melodramatics between FHR.
I was trying to figure that out.
And HCHR. I was thinking like Bill Clinton. Hillary Clinton.
No, I can't. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that was. We're out of the loop on that one.
Yeah, we're not cool enough to know that.
That was a pretty good one there, Michelle.
Oh, Michelle.
Oh, my God. Great. And we all know a woman like that, too.
Michelle, I've got to know, just send me a private message, why your email is Pretzel Bunny. I just need to know. Okay.
Maybe she Next worked one. As a pretzel, or she was a did worked at Aunt Annie's.
We're running out of time. This is
all right. Well, we're going to end with this. This one's a little longer, but it is so worth it because it is our favorite reader of all time, Gemma, and you're going to love the melodramatic portrayal of this particular ad. Here we go.
Hey, this is Gemma. I don't know if this novel of an ad is quite as epic as the last one I submitted, but hopefully you'll stick around for all of its drama. Hello, my name is Audie. I'm in search of, quote, good home for my 13-year-old TB. I really hate to give her up, but my physical health demands it. It's starting to take a turn for the worse. It's been getting much harder for me to ride and seeing less and less time with her. I'd like to find a really good home and with someone who not only loves horses, but, quote, must have time for her. I don't want her to just be a pasture horse. She's a real sweetheart, and she's, quote, very nice, as well as with children. She's an X-track and English hunter dressage horse in good physical health with no health issue on her or about her since her transition off the track and English. She's registered and stands 16-1 hands, and since her transition, I've only been working and riding English with her. She's more than excellent in the mountains and trials. We've pretty much covered all of Hardware Ranch together, and we've done all of my deer and elk hunts up there together. When I say we, I mean just me and my horse. Unfortunately, a lot of our hunts together have been unfilled tags lately. LOL, she's very strong and can go all day. Really easy to ride, and she'll come right up to you by just smacking your lips. I got the smacking of the lip call idea from the Jackie Chan movie Shanghai Noon, LOL. I just haven't gotten her to sit down for me yet, LOL. I've been around horse and riding for years, but she's my first horse that I have found the courage to ever own. All of this talk about her has taken me down memory lanes and making it more difficult for me to let her go. Because honestly, I really, quote, don't want to have to ever give her up. But I have to think of her future's well-being over my love and the relationship I've spent building with her before my health starts to get the best of me. I can only describe our relationship with her as to a Black Beauty. Yes, that's correct. Black Beauty, the movie. So you can understand why someone like myself would be so emotional over such a horse as this one. And as my time to be around her decreases, my thought of losing her grows harder and harder, while my health continues to make me very afraid for her. Thus, why I am in search of a good owner and home for her. So please, if you're a horse lover like I am, come check out Mope Buck Molly. Molly for short. You'll definitely fall in love with her as I have. Thanks, you! P.S. I have some conditions before I'd ever consider handing Molly over. Nothing serious or anything. I can go over these conditions should any buyer choose to still come by and see her. Thank you. P.S.S. I don't do email here, so please contact me by phone, via call, or text with any questions you may have for me. Again, thank you, and I apologize for any inconvenience this may have caused. P.S.S.S. If you're still interested in Molly, I will throw in all of her grass and alfalfa feed for free, which is about 40 bales left and at about 80 pounds each, and all her deworming meds too. You're not ever going to find a horse deal like this on ever again.
Ever.
Gemma, did you take acting classes or what?
I just want her to like read nighttime stories.
I'm quitting. I'm resigning. She can just come in here with you and do the ads.
Yeah. I think we should just book her for 7 o'clock. Well, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Every Friday.
Every Friday morning, we'll just let her do the ads. We'll sit back and laugh, and it'll be great. Gemma, and it's a combination of her melodramatics and her voice. Her voice, she just has that distinctive voice, and it's just so funny. And
God, she's like, that's great.
She does a great job with that. Thank you, Gemma. You can send in more ads. That'd be welcome.
I wonder if the price got, like, oh my God.
I was just like, I wanted to cry.
Is she getting more expensive as the ad goes on?
I don't know. And then I thought I changed my mind about 50 times in that ad, whether it was a male or female writing it.
Oh, that was a chick. That's a teenager too.
Yeah, but it was the hunting thing and going out, hunting and having unfilled tags that I went guy. And then by the end I was said, this is an emotional guy. Wow. So I was lost on that.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Chicks hunt too. There's idiots out there that are girls too.
All right, that's it. Thanks, Gemma. Appreciate you sending that in. And of course, we want to thank Wendy Murdoch for the prize this month. And send your ads into jenniferhorseradionetwork.com, and we'll read more next week. And that's it. Jamie has to go. She has to get ready for her big test, and she'll be coming to us from Flag Is Up Farm in California on Monday. We have
to
head out of here.
Oh my God, that's Monday. I've got to go study.
You've
got
to go study, and we're going to get out of here and go to Disney World to meet up with some listeners. So, have fun, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy your podcasting conference thing that you're doing.
I'm just doing a short talk, and then we're out of there.
All right,
this
everybody,
is fun.
Have a great weekend. All right, Spay, see ya. Peter Geld.